Horror Play is brought to you by Audible.com. Go to www.audibletrial.com/shark to get your free audiobook download and 30-day free trial. With over 180,000 titles for you to choose from for your Android, iPod, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Hey.
Welcome to the Horror Play Podcast.
That never gets old.
No, it won't.
Hello and welcome to the Horror Play Podcast, the podcast dedicated to find the scariest game ever made. I'm your host, John Lossoff. Joining me, as always, are my creative co-hosts.
Like pillows? It?
I feel like you should just download a thesaurus app now.
I did.
Yeah?
I already did.
And that creative was the best you came up with?
It's the first result I came up
with. So you just want to go. Okay.
Amber, say hi to everyone.
Hello.
Adam.
Hi.
And Robert.
Hi.
Yeah. You guys weren't very creative.
Well, neither were you. We're just following our leader's example.
I'm just saying.
And me too.
If I'm throwing you guys a softball, I expect you to just mash it.
We did. We said hi when asked.
Yeah. Who says that? Hard. Mash a softball?
50-year-old softball.
Mostly girls.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I ever watched like baseball and they're like, man, that guy just mashed that ball.
No, it's mostly girls and companies.
Girls and companies?
Girls and companies. Oh. Companies who have softball leagues.
You're not watching softball with the right people.
I thought if you're like part of a bank company, you were just like, you said mash a lot.
Yeah, you do.
So girls and companies.
You mash the numbers.
That's true, but not softballs.
No.
So John
unless you're
wrong
a girl.
All right, guys. So before we get started, I just want to ask, what's everybody been playing lately? Non-horror related.
Non-horror related?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You got to make us think.
Yeah.
I just started Quantum Break.
Yeah.
How was that?
It's been fun so far.
Some of the guys who made Alan Wake.
Yep. Right. Yep. There's been a couple really awesome Alan Wake Easter eggs that I geeked out over
in the beginning
of the game.
Quantum Break, like the gimmick is like you control time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And every famous, well, not, I guess not famous actor in the world, but Sean Ashmore, the guy that played Iceman, is the main character.
He's my favorite X-Man.
Well, that's good.
Right.
Littlefinger from Game of Thrones.
Wow. Yeah. He's my favorite finger.
Or, what was his
Charlie.
Name?
Charlie.
Yeah, Charlie's from in it. Lost. Charlie from Lost.
Oh, yeah.
I was trying to come up with
not
what's
Penny's
his name
boat.
From.
Not Penny's Boat.
Not Penny's Boat, bro.
Penny's
the
Boat.
One in the band, too.
Yeah. Drive Shaft.
Drive Shaft.
That's been pretty solid so far. Been playing some Division and Rocket League.
Yep, Division. That's all I've been playing.
What was that? I heard there's like a huge exploit in the Division. People are getting all up in arms about it.
I have not.
We haven't gotten far enough for that. Yeah, we're slowly playing it. We haven't even reached the
level. I guess people have figured out a way to, because I guess like the higher end gear is time gated somewhat. Like you have to wait like a certain amount of time. But like
it's like any other MMO where you can only run one instance of something in a certain time frame, but people figured out basically their new raid thing that they put in it is like a horde mode and you just fight 15 waves of enemies, but people found a way before you have to destroy a vehicle, but people found a way to just get to that vehicle without fighting the enemies.
Nice.
And now cheaters. I think they're all about to get their stuff taken away.
Pumpkin.
Because really that stuff is only good for the like Dark Zone, which is their kind of multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
Which
environment.
We have not been
into
yet.
We haven't gotten there yet. We're slowly working our way through the story.
Yeah. I actually got invited to the Overwatch beta this past weekend, so I got to play a little bit of it.
Nice. That's the one that Blizzard's putting out,
yeah,
right?
It's Blizzard's version of like a Team Fortress 2.
Yeah.
With a little bit of a MOBA elements.
I get a mix up with Battleborn, that's it.
Yeah. That just came out recently, too.
Yeah, we tried that one.
I played a little bit of Overwatch. It's pretty cool so far. I played this one character called Tracer. Her ability is that she kind of controls time a little bit.
That's the one everybody was all up in arms over because her victory pose, you saw her butt.
Right. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's there was all this controversy over her victory pose because she was just like her back was to you and she was looking at you over her shoulder. So everybody was like, "Oh, why does she have
to?" It's the Black Widow pose on the Avengers posters.
Yeah, they fixed it, but admittedly made it probably worse than what it was before. But everybody loves it now, so hey.
I know Overwatch is fun. I think it comes out soon. I think they're going to sell full price, $60. Mm,
yeah.
But any DLC is free.
Is it on all the systems?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think PC is probably the best way to go.
Probably.
Blizzard. PC is like Blizzard's domain.
I want to say I saw somewhere where there was like a $40 version, and I don't know if that applies to consoles or if that's a PC only, but it's kind of a base version of the game where you get all the characters and stuff.
Yeah.
That's all the information I had. I should have not started that sentence.
It's a fun game. I like Tracer and I like Reaper, the guy with like the twin guns. He just teleports everywhere.
Nice.
It's fun.
Nice.
Cool.
Robert, what are you even playing?
Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Arkham
versus
Knight?
Superman.
Yeah, Arkham Knight. Yeah. No, not Batman versus Superman.
You liking it so far?
Yeah, it's cool. I've played it for about 2 or 3 hours now. It's pretty cool. I mean, I played the other two, so it's like just a continuing story.
I still need to finish Arkham City.
That one was good.
I need to finish Arkham Asylum. How about that?
Arkham Asylum was good.
Not play any of them.
Yeah,
it was probably the best Batman game.
Yeah, I liked that one better actually than Arkham City. And then Arkham Knight's good so far. There's a lot of tank or like Batmobile stuff.
Yeah.
In the beginning, which is kind of weird because you turn into a tank and it turns into almost like battle tanks. It's kind of weird at points, but
have they updated it yet to put Ben Affleck in the game?
No, well, but I am waiting to see his chin. I really want to see it.
Oh, more horror themed. We played the Doom beta as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was fun. I mean, it was just a multiplayer beta.
Yeah.
But it was refreshing. It was a different type of multiplayer, kind of a throwback to old classic shooter.
Were you here to review Doom?
I was not, that? No.
Oh.
It was Jonathan.
Yeah, it was me, Jonathan, Kyle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. It got a pretty low rating. If I remember correctly.
Yeah, I do remember that. I think that is the lowest game on the list. No. That's Stanley Parable.
Yeah, I think Doom has a 2. Is...
Yeah.
2 out of 10.
There we go. All right. Let's get this podcast started.
Hey, we have an updated list. Keep going.
Do we have an updated list?
Yeah, I updated it. So the list is updated as of now. It does not include the game we are reviewing
today. So it won't be updated anymore.
Well, yeah. By the time you're listening to this, technically it is updated, but by the end of this podcast, it will not be updated.
All right. Awesome. All right, Adam, what game are we talking about this week?
Doesn't matter. It's not going to be on the list by the time you listen to this.
That's true.
Hey, you're just going to be behind the times. People, you might as well just turn this off now and wait for the
Just write
next
it down
list.
On a sheet of paper, all right? And then just tape it to your computer screen.
Computer screen?
Yeah.
Do that for all of them because I'm tired of updating this shit.
All right. So today we are talking about The Evil Within, or as it was known in Japan, Psycho Break.
Psycho Break.
Well, you know, much like Resident Evil.
It's a biohazard.
It was biohazard, which is fitting considering this game was created and or directed by Shinji Mikami, the man who created the Resident Evil series and was with the series all the way through Resident Evil 4. This game, he was fed up with the state of survival horror, so he was trying to make a game to return it to its roots. It's a third-person game. It's a lot more like the original Resident Evils, I think. It's a lot more limited ammo-wise. Enemies are kind of bullet sponges, but it's built to be that way. You play Sebastian Castellano. He's a detective who is investigating...
Amber just snorted there.
Oh, I know.
Just say the name again. Sebastian Castellanos.
No, by all means, you go ahead and finish.
No, man, I was just laughing at how bored Robert looked with life.
Oh, I can't tell you. Like, I'm bored listening to me, too.
No. I'm just like,
listen, man.
Never mind. We're going to get into it. We're
listen, man, you're
it.
Like... You're like past the halfway point. Just keep pushing. Keep
no, I'm not bored by the description. Yeah. I'm just bored by this game.
That's what I meant, really.
So, yeah, you play Sebastian Castellanos, and he's a detective. You're called to a mental institute to investigate something, and when you show up with your partners, a shadowy figure shows up.
Shadowy hoodie guy.
Yeah, he appears out of nowhere and kills your partners, and you're off on an adventure.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's where the adventure begins.
Sounds like a Steven Spielberg movie. Well,
it may one day be.
Okay.
Probably.
Or at least Paul, what's the guy that directed the Resident Evil movie's name?
Ooh, Paul W.S. Anderson.
All right, there
Not
we go.
To be confused with the better director, Paul Thomas Anderson.
I always confuse those two.
I always confuse those two.
They are very... I mean there will be blood. What do you think is in zombie movies? Blood.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
That's true. There will be blood in zombie movies.
There will be blood and Resident Evil. Okay. We're very similar in scope.
All right, guys. Definitely. What are our initial thoughts on The Evil Within?
It was a game. Okay.
I'm glad you pointed that out.
Okay, here's the thing is, like Adam said, they were trying to get back to the root of survival horror, and I do not think they did that. Yeah. They didn't do it. I think it's more like Resident Evil 4 than it is the original Resident Evil.
You know what's interesting is that the way this game was marketed, like, they were just focusing on the fact that Shinji Mikami, the guy who, you know, basically created survival horror, like, he was the guy behind this game. He was the guy who was going to bring back survival horror, and... The game didn't really turn out that way.
No, not at all.
It really did seem like they were just trying to make another Resident Evil 4 because Resident Evil 4 was so popular. Like,
and it was fast-paced. It was scary, but it wasn't the same kind of tense scary of the original Resident Evil.
It suffered from the same problem that Alone in the Dark had. It was just trying to do like a lot of different things.
Yeah. That is definitely my biggest complaint. It wanted to be a bunch of different games, and in that process, it didn't execute any of them really well.
Fully, yeah. It just kind of limited in a bunch.
So let's try to go through all the different things to try to be. Obviously, it tried to be a horror game. Mm-hmm. It tried to be an action game.
Stealth action game.
But how often did you use the stealth?
Well, you try to, but then you fuck up once and you're fucked and you have to murder everything around you.
Yeah,
and
there's like 20 enemies.
A lot of those were built to kind of be more stealthy, like you were playing a Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah.
I'm bad at those, I guess, because I did not do good stealthing in this game.
Okay, but one of my biggest complaints for this game was like the cheap kills. Like, there's definitely a lot of cheap kills.
Yeah.
And like booby traps that you trip over them, you're dead.
Yep.
Which in a game like Limbo, that had a lot of cheap kills, I felt like that was okay because it is just kind of a quick try again, kind of
right.
Like a trial and error.
And that was really the whole point of the game. There was nothing else.
Right,
that
it's
was
a puzzle solving.
To oppose you.
Yeah, it's a puzzle solving game. But in a game like this, that's like this action adventure kind of survival horror game with a story that has stealth elements to it, to have like you're running away and just have bear traps littered everywhere, plus like just wires you can't see.
Oh yeah, those are great.
And you don't even get like hurt most of the time. You get like you explode and you're dead, and you have to do the whole thing over again. And it's just, it gets like really frustrating at points.
What was really frustrating is the beginning of the game, because there's an upgrade system for your weapons.
Yeah, that's the other thing it wants to try and do is be a light RPG.
Yeah, they really limit you in the beginning of the game because those weapons do jack shit.
I think it's harder in the beginning of the game than it is later in the game when you upgrade.
So
that makes no sense.
I mean, I enjoy upgrade systems in games. It gets me more invested. But in this game, it felt like a chore. Like, I was always looking for like that green goo. I'm like, I was checking every barrel, like every chest. I'm just like, not because I wanted to, but because I felt like I had to. Because if I didn't upgrade my weapons, I'd be, you know, screwed later on in the game.
Exactly. And I think that was another big downfall for the game as well, because a lot of these, the point, the game was built to be challenging, and these enemies to be bullet sponges to try and retain that old survival horror aspect. Mm-hmm. But you leveling yourself up so much and being so powerful towards the end, it's like, well, what's the point?
Yeah, it's
they should
not
have just
as hard.
They should have never scaled the difficulty to the enemies. Right. Just say this is the pistol, the damage that the pistol does, and that's it for the whole game. And the enemies never increase in difficulty.
Yeah, there's just different.
It was weird that they just tried to up that. They're like, here, you can upgrade yourself, and then it's going to be easier to kill the enemies.
Yeah,
it was just strange.
It really does get easier as it goes along. Like, at least that's how I felt. Now, we started off playing on a different difficulty, and then we went down. But like,
don't admit that.
I'm just saying. Like,
I think we just played on easy.
Well, we wanted to get through it because we wanted to review it for this podcast, so we were trying to just get it in.
We usually play in like what the hardest difficulty.
Oh yeah, we're always playing the toughest.
Yeah.
Anyways, But this game is a hard game, and I remember listening to the review from IGN when they reviewed it when it first came out, and they were saying, like, this is a games game. Like, this is a person who plays games a lot. Like, they want a tough challenge. Like, this is that kind of game,
right,
which I get to an extent, but it's also, like, it's almost like that in an infuriating way. Kind of how Alien Isolation was at parts.
There was a lot of things I would have been okay with. I'm like, oh, the fine, I died, whatever. I didn't have enough health. But like you guys said, there was a lot of cheap stuff. Like, I'd be running, and at the last second, I would see a tripwire, and I would try to turn, but it was too late. Or an enemy would pin me against a wall because I made a wrong turn, and then I just have to sit there and get hit over and over again.
Yeah. You know what I absolutely hated? Like, it's not just exclusive to horror games, but like a lot of games in general do these days. But like, you get to an area, and the only way to get past is just kill all the enemies in the area. You have to go to like a little mini horde mode.
Yeah.
And like, it's totally obvious what you have to do. It's never really fun to do. It's a chore to get through. I'm like, but a lot of times in this game, because it's so limiting, like, you usually run out of ammo like halfway through the fight. So you just have to like run around.
You're scrambling to pick up the ammo from the enemies you killed. Mm-hmm. It's usually like two bullets. So then you're reloading the two bullets. You're killing one enemy while other ones are shooting at you. And then you're picking up that
ammo. And look, that guy's got a Molotov and he's throwing at you.
Yeah.
Oh, look, my God. Yeah, he's got a stick of dynamite. That you better watch out for him.
That one room where they had like three guys run at you with sticks of dynamite. Oh my God. I was getting so pissed off.
I was watching Robert play that. I'm just like, dude, just shoot the guys with the dynamite sticks. And Robert's like, he kept dying. He's like, here, you play it. I'm like, I'm going to show you how to do it.
Did this game make you guys mad at each other at any point?
Oh, we're always mad at each other.
Yeah. Adam and I, we almost didn't get through this because we'd get so pissed off. He'd be like, don't use your fucking ammo. And then he'd get the gun. It'd be his turn. He'd get the gun and he'd use a whole clip and miss every time. And I'm like, but then I'd scream at him.
Yeah, that,
like,
that to be fair, was after watching you play for like an hour.
Yeah.
And I was just like, all right, I don't even want to stealth. I just want to shoot everything and
the
be
stealth,
done.
I just don't think the stealth worked that well.
No, yeah, Adam,
it didn't.
You and I were on the same wavelength. I always empty out the ammo.
I know. I'd be like, don't use all the ammo, but then like you can't help it. You like,
no, wait,
right,
man.
You have no choice.
That one enemy needed 50 bullets to take down.
To be fair, I would normally end up dying, so we would get all that ammo back once we had to reload a save.
Yeah. Oh, that's another thing. These save points were kind of few and far in between,
yep,
it felt like.
They were very 90s JRPG.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like that one room where you have to fight the hordes of enemies. There's like a point where it kind of even like once you defeat all the enemies, then like three more gates open and like four guys run out with dynamite sticks. And it's like you have to shoot four guys coming at different directions and they all have dynamite and there's nowhere to hide. So it's
I'm trying to think of like which instance you're talking about, because this could apply to like a lot of different parts of the game right now.
Yeah.
I just remember it's the one with like a big hole in the floor and you had to run around the hole in the floor. It was so fucking frustrating. Yeah. I remember kept dying there and then having to start the whole horde part over again.
All right, guys. So what was everyone's scariest moment of the game?
Well, mine was kind of early. I want to say it was towards the beginning of chapter 4 or 5. You had to reach into a body to get a key out.
Oh, okay.
Or something.
Yeah.
And the game really had not been that scary up to that point, in my opinion. It was creepy, and the atmosphere was, like, you could tell some weird stuff was going on. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, all right, I see where they're coming from, but not really scary. So I really wasn't expecting, as I was digging around in this dead body, for it to jump at me. So it was a jump scare. But that they lulled me into a sense of security over 3 or 4 chapters. And then they got me. I appreciated that.
There you go.
Yeah, mine was that spider lady. Like, she had like all the legs and stuff. Like
the one that kept coming back to life? Right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And you had to like burn her in that little magma or whatever it was, the coals.
Yeah, that was another fun section to do.
Oh my God, that was so frustrating. But like, I will say that there were some like creepy monsters in this. None of them really made sense to like
anything. They didn't.
They were just like, but how creepy can we make creatures? And she was like a creepy one. It was like the spider lady. She had like a bunch of arms and she kind of just, she ran really fast. Mm-hmm. So you had to just like constantly stay in front of her and try to blow up buildings.
While we're talking about burning things, can we talk about like why you couldn't just pick up random fire and burn bodies? Why you had to have matches? I guess we can talk about that later.
Can we talk about why the only weapon wasn't just matches? You just burn everything?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that
was like
pretty effective.
I think what Robert and I did, I don't know if you guys did, but like we would just like pile like all the bodies like in the same group and just like burn them all in like one match. Just nice. Be like really efficient.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, there you go. That's how the pros do it.
Nice.
Clearly.
Amber.
That's why we played it on medium.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah.
The scariest moments for me were the spider lady as well, and then the box head guy was scared the shit out of me.
Oh yeah, the box head guy. He was like kind of appear
thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
From like different
oh,
boxes.
He was tough because he would always regenerate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of enemies
things
in this game regenerated.
Me. Scare me.
You had to burn. I mean,
that's
that was
you
the
had
big
to
thing.
Burn
burning them.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, see? Yeah. Why not just constant matches?
Just burn the whole town down.
Yeah.
Just
why?
Call it a day.
Yeah. For me, it was actually towards the very beginning of the game where like you find yourself hanging from that meat hook or whatever. And then like you see like in the distance to see like this big, you know, letter face looking dude. And like you have to like swing to grab the key from that guy or whatever. Like that whole section where you had to like run away from him. Like that was terrifying.
It was terrifying.
And then the game just kind of jumps off.
Yeah.
It just takes a deep dive after that. Like,
that's what was my favorite part was the beginning.
Yeah, I wish the whole game would have been like that. That would have been like one of the scariest games we've ever played.
And the creeping around actually worked in that once you figured out what was going on.
Yeah,
like,
it was awesome. Like that whole first level was amazing. I'm just like, because like it was funny. Like when Robert and I were playing that, like when we were playing that level, we were like, man, this game is amazing. The graphics are amazing. It's scary.
Mm-hmm.
But then like
it went
we played the rest
fast.
Of the game. Yeah. Yeah, every time we got together, Rob was like, you know what? I think this game's really, really good. But then, like, after, like, 10, 15 minutes, like, no, never mind. I hate this game.
It became a running joke that every time we started the game, because we'd only play, like, one or two chapters at a time, and there's 15 chapters, and it's, like, a 15-hour game. And every time we would start it, I would just be like, you know what? This game isn't too bad. I think I'm starting to like it. Let's just get into it. I think I can get into it. And then, like, 10 minutes in, I'm just like, fuck this game.
You know, you guys played this a while before we did.
Mm. Took us, like, a year.
I remember you telling me that a lot. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm not looking forward to this. But I found myself doing the same thing, and I didn't even realize it.
Yeah.
I would be like, oh, I hate this game so much while we were playing it. And then... like a day or two would go by and be like, oh, we got to play this. I don't want to. And I'm like, well, maybe it's not so bad.
Yeah.
And then 20 minutes in, I'm like, ugh.
When is this over?
Like, it was just so close to being a good game. Like, the graphics were amazing. Obviously, the controls are pretty good. We'll get into that later.
Yeah.
But it was just like...
it was close.
It just felt so close. That's probably the most frustrating part. Like, this could have been a really good game.
Yep.
Right. It was just off the mark in, like, several different areas.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, before I get flustered here, my blood's boiling. Just
wait,
about this game.
I have an idea.
Yeah.
Why don't we go play it? Maybe this game isn't as bad as we were.
Yeah, you know,
let's go check
right.
it
this
out.
Game,
let's try
you
again.
Know,
start from the beginning.
Talking about this game makes me want to play it again. Actually.
Okay. What, right. Should we just play it on air or should we do something?
No. We'll go on break.
Okay. Let's take a break then, and then we'll come back after we play it.
Yeah.
All the way through.
All right. See you in 15 hours.
Yep.
Hey podcast fans, I'm Jonathan and I'm here to talk to you about an exciting new podcast called Top 5. It's brought to you by Shark Dropper. Can you think of anything and everything that you want to count it down, anywhere from shitty cereals to worst bands ever to top 5 athletes, maybe even the top 5 movies? Well, guess what? We count it down from 5 to 4 to 3 to 2 to 6. No, I'm just kidding. We count it down to 1 every time, every week. Shark Dropper Studios, sharkdropper.com.
Welcome back to Horror Play. Holy crap. What a terrible game.
That was shit.
God, why did we play
definitely
that?
Definitely not good. Jeez. Sorry, guys. I don't know why I recommended that.
I didn't know why I thought it'd be
bad
good.
Bad idea, Adam.
Look, I thought it might be okay. All right?
It's been
a little while since I played it.
It's just, like, it was fun for like 10 minutes, but after that, the game just went to shit.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Fuck.
So glad we played
it
that.
It doesn't disappoint if you think you're getting into shit.
So wait, if you play the game for like 10 minutes at a time, you'll be golden, right?
Yeah, I think you'll like it.
Okay.
Like, you'll be a big fan.
You'll never be disappointed.
No.
All right. Awesome. All right, with all that being said, time to go into like these unbiased ratings.
Yeah. Definitely unbiased. Yeah. If you listened to Horror Play before, you know we have a rating system. We have four different categories. Obviously, we're looking for the scariest game ever made, but we have three other categories as well. We have immersion, story, and gameplay, and then scariness is the fourth category. All of them are rated on a 10-point scale, 10 being the highest.
Wait, what one would you say is the most important?
I think, arguably, it would be scariness. But
go with immersion.
Unarguably, it would be immersion.
Okay.
I agree.
All right.
Anyway, so we rate these on a 10-point scale, 10 being the highest. We're going to get into it. We'll start with immersion. Immersion consists of atmosphere, music, sound effects, creativity, and graphics. Were we immersed in this game? Let's find out. I gave it an 8 out of 10. John, a 7 out of 10. Adam, a 7 out of 10. Amber, an 8.5 out of 10.
Amber.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Loving the game.
You were completely immersed in this game.
See, I rated it off of the first 10 minutes that I played it.
Yeah. Okay. If she rated it off of the rest of it, it'd be a 6.
Yeah.
You just felt like you were in that
I was
that
so immersed
dungeon.
The first 10 minutes. Like,
so what, your leg was broken.
What caused you to become so immersed in this game, Amber?
Like I said, I rated it off of that first part. Okay. And I think it just kind of put you in the moment of like being that person, and like it was the sound effects, the music was creepy. Like you said, the guy with the leather face that was standing there, he was creepy. Like, it just really put me in it. I mean, I got out of it getting annoyed the rest of the game, but like the parts that were fun, like I was really immersed.
I think overall, like, I think the atmosphere and everything was, I think that it was the only thing that was really working for the game,
right?
Was the atmosphere.
Graphics were amazing.
The graphics.
Wait, let's slow down on the graphics for a second.
I mean, they're not,
who the fuck puts out a letterboxed game?
Yeah, that was kind of weird. Do you think that was just like,
that's true,
I had to be like bars.
Well, I put that under creativity.
Okay.
So that's why I gave it an 8 out of 10.
Okay. Fair enough.
It was kind of weird. That's my whole thing with like over the shoulder kind of like third person games. Like, even with like Gears of War, like a lot of times you get, I feel like it's cutting off like half of your view because like your character's taking up like almost half the screen.
See, I'm all right with that. Like, I've really been digging third person stuff more than first person stuff lately. But letterboxed, like Blu-rays that come out that are still letterboxed infuriate me, because who doesn't own a 16:9 TV at this point?
Hey man, I'm still rocking my CRT.
Okay, that's fine, as long as you only have a Sega hooked up to it to play Aladdin. It's all right.
Yeah.
We'll say CRTs are still considered one of the best gaming monitors out there. The response time is good. Anyway, continue on.
That
was really it. I just didn't understand that. That was so, like, who puts out a letterboxed game? To the point where there were so many complaints about it that they eventually did put a patch in the game where you could turn that off.
We did not download that patch.
I think you probably just already had it.
Really?
Maybe, yeah, because I turned it off pretty quick.
Okay.
But I just found out today when I was reading about the game and refreshing myself that was something that was added in later.
The only reason I can guess is because they wanted to make it more cinematic.
Right, like you're watching a movie.
But it's a game. It's a game.
It's not like cinematic. Like Uncharted 2 was cinematic. Right. This was frustrating.
Yeah.
Wasn't cinematic.
I've seen other games where to make them more cinematic, and it may have been for Horror Play, I don't remember the exact games, but where they'll put like kind of film filters or something over it it'll kind of add a grainy effect or something to it.
I don't know. Like, I like the graphics in it, like the cutscenes.
Yeah, the graphics were good. I mean, especially for a game that came out pretty much around console launch.
Right.
Because it came out in October of 2014.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And
God, this game's 2 years old now?
Yeah.
It took us a year to beat it.
I don't think the Xbox One or PS4 was out at the time when this game came out. So I think this game came out before those consoles. Yeah. Like, because it's on the 360 and PS3.
Well, I mean, the immersion, I mean, I gave it an 8 out of 10, and that is, like, the highest so far.
Yeah.
Like, of all, like, the points when you look at them, like, for me, that was, like, the highest for this game.
You know, I agree. I gave it a 7 out of 10. Like, I don't know how much this has to do with Shinji Mikami. Like, the game's not perfect, but I feel like he probably had a large say in like the immersion aspects of the game, like atmosphere, music, sound effects, creativity, graphics. Because it seems like, from the way the game was marketed, it seemed like he had just kind of like George Lucas style full control over the game. So, you know, if that's the case, then I feel like, you know, it definitely feels like a Shinji Mikami game. Like, you go back to the old school Resident Evil games, like, this kind of had like a very similar kind of atmosphere as those other games.
With that comparison, who was the Jar Jar Binks of Evil Within?
Oh, it's got to be
the main character.
Yeah. No, it's the...
No, because Jar Jar had personality.
That's true.
Okay, you might not have liked it, but it was there.
I will say, and I was going to put this in story, but like the acting in this game is really subpar.
Yeah, it's really not bad. So good.
I was going to say the hoodie guy. Like, he was kind of corny, right?
Yeah, he wasn't really scary or anything.
He was just like all emo looking.
Yeah, he just showed up randomly.
Jar Jar was very emo. Yeah. Misa, marry emo.
Yeah. That classic line from episode one.
Because the prequels were known for their great lines.
Yeah, people really don't know this, but Jar Jar Binks was the first emo band.
Yep.
Was it?
No.
Okay.
I thought you'd get excited.
You almost had me there.
All right. Are we moving on, or does anybody else have something to say?
No, I gave it a 7 as well. I think the music and sound effects were good. The atmosphere was good. Creativity was fine. Graphics.
It was creative.
Decent.
It just didn't follow through with everything.
Yeah. It's. I think a 7's a respectable score.
And that is like the high. Like we all rated immersion the highest. Looking at these scores, that's the highest for all of us.
It did immersion well.
Yeah,
right?
That's the one thing it did well. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's go to story, which is plot, characters, and enemies.
You know, it's kind of funny. It's kind of appropriate because, like, immersion is the first part that they reduced,
which we liked, and then it just went down.
Yeah, it's all
so
down
when
down.
We get to scariness, not going to be too good for this game.
All right,
story, plot, characters, enemies. I give it a 6 out of 10. John, a 5. Adam, a 6.5. Amber, a 7.
Well,
John didn't like this.
We just planned
but
that,
Amber loved it.
Come on, you hated this game.
It went
okay. Yeah. So I gave it a 5 out of 10. I appreciate the enemy variety. There are different types of enemies. Like a lot of them were really scary.
Yeah,
like,
they're cool looking.
The guy with the head in the box, the letter face guy, the spire lady. Like that's pretty cool. It's just like the main characters themselves were very uninteresting, very bland. Like you didn't really care what happened to them. The story itself was really hard to follow. Like
there's
every so much going
Japanese
on.
Survival horror.
So
I couldn't tell you what was happening by the end.
No.
Nope.
Why can't horror games have like a cohesive story?
Yeah, they always they start off very like you don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
you're
I know.
Like, what's happening here?
Yeah, they start you off just
it gets
like
you
fucking
a little
what?
Invested, and then you start seeing some of it come together, and you're like, oh man, this seems like it's going someplace cool.
Okay.
And then by the end, you're like, what just happened?
Yeah,
you know what's like a lot of people might disagree with me, but like a lot of story was told through like the little journals or whatever, and I don't have a problem with that because like I feel like that's really well done in some other games, but like the journal entries in this game were just really really boring to read or just really really long. Like I just didn't really care.
Nope.
Like I don't know,
I did not read any of them,
and
I don't know, but if you have cut scenes you can still tell a story through them.
To be honest, I'm getting quite sick of this whole get your story out of fucking journals thing.
I know, seriously,
like, either more in-depth part of the story if that's fine, but like the needing to know the story by reading those
or
no.
What
journals,
if like you know
be side story journals should always be side story, like
side
in Resident
story.
Evil a lot of it was like kind of like side
right,
story
you didn't
shit.
Need
yeah.
to read them to know what was going on.
I'm sick of it, like to the point where and not even just horror games, because this is really starting to get out into a bunch of other games too, like you need to read these things to inform things in the story, and it's just
and I'm not against reading, it's just I feel like it slows the game down.
Yeah, especially when there's an overabundance of it, and there seems to just be getting more and more.
And
as
horror
games,
especially horror games, are like I noticed like a lot of newer horror games are really starting to do that shit. Like Daylight, Outlast, this, some of the newer Resident Evils. Like it's just like
even
enough.
Quantum Break, the first level, there were 16 story pieces that I could find. And I know this because every time I found one, it would tell me you found X out of 16.
Right.
Well, they did the same thing for Alan Wake, right? Which we're going to review later.
Yeah,
we're
playing that right now.
But the way they did that was actually really cool. You were finding pages of a book that he had written, and if you pay enough attention to him, it kind of informs what's coming ahead instead of it being...
Like I also like that,
that
he
to.
Read them, so
yeah,
you could kind of
exactly.
just play it and then just listen to them.
Yeah,
and like, good.
You could close out of it and he would keep going and you could continue on with the game.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, what about this game?
So Alan Wake, I love it.
Hey, that's for a different horror play.
Next time. Yeah, I honestly gave it a 6. Nothing great. It's kind of like so many horror. I feel like the only horror game that ever had like a cohesive story that we've played was The Last of Us. that's just personally. I know there's maybe like a couple others, but overall, it's just like there's never like a cohesive story, and it's always like just weird shit, especially when it comes from like fucking Japan or Indonesia. It's
although,
just weird
you know,
shit.
To be fair, like sometimes a cohesive story isn't needed. PT had like, I mean, a very
even
faint
that,
story.
It was vague, but it was cohesive. You could figure it out pretty easily. Whereas like this, and like. I'm trying to even think of like the other games we played. They're just like, or even Silent Hill. Like it's just kind of random at points.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I give it a 6, but most of that is actually from like the enemy design. The characters aren't that great, but the enemies I think were pretty cool.
Right. Yeah. That's the only reason I voted it any higher than a 5 is because of the enemies. Because I really thought the enemies were cool, but the story was. Reading about it afterwards to refresh myself, and I was like, I don't even remember what the story was about. What was the story about? Let me read about it. I still didn't get it even after reading it. I'm like, I still don't know what was going on.
Guys, look, I got it. Okay. I will.
You already read it.
Let's right. buckle ourselves in.
Oh, you're
going to
go through the
whole
story?
Story.
Okay. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Chapter 1.
Buckle in.
So, chapter 1. Okay. There's this evil, and it's within.
Oh, shit.
I did not see that coming.
Damn.
Cut to chapter 15.
Okay.
The evil is now without.
Oh, wow. Whoa. Without what?
So you just kind of yada yada that. The evil within, yada yada yada.
Now it's without.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
It is like just a lot of like stuff in his consciousness, people trying to control it. There's
you ever
an
get
evil
the feeling
guy trying
like,
to get out.
You get the feeling like this game, like, I know we were talking about like games like under explaining plot, but I felt like a lot of times, like in this game, they were over explaining parts of plot that weren't really necessary. Like, it was just like, okay, so we're going to the backstory of this guy. But do we really need to go this far?
Yeah.
Right.
I'm just like...
Like him as a child and why he is the way he is.
Can we just yada yada this part?
Yeah. It needed more yada yada.
Yeah. I don't know. It felt like they were focusing on the wrong things, story-wise.
Really? Do you think we can get Jerry Seinfeld into writing horror games?
We should.
So he can just yada yada all
just
the
yada
stories? Yada. There's a mansion with zombies. Yada yada.
Can you imagine
up.
Those notes?
Oh, what's
be
the
so
deal?
Easy to read. What's the deal with these monsters?
I would play a horror game where Jerry Seinfeld was the main
protagonist.
Oh, that would be incredible.
All right. Are we talking any more about that, or am I going to gameplay? Because gameplay is pretty easy to discuss, I think.
Go for it.
All right. Gameplay is controls and level design. I gave it a 6. John gave it a 6. Adam gave it a 6. Amber gave it a 6.
Perfect.
Whoa.
Complete agreement.
We agree.
But you're still wrong, Robert.
Fuck.
As for the controls, I feel like those were built to make the game more challenging
I think
on
they
purpose.
Were.
Yeah.
It wasn't like it was hard or anything. And the game controlled pretty well. It was very responsive. But the button layout was so counterintuitive to everything else, like every other game you play.
Do you think they did that because of Resident Evil and how people liked, like, or... Like, Resident Evil enthusiasts who, like, really like the game, like, the earlier games, they like kind of, like, the tank controls of the originals because they were tougher. I'm wondering if they included that because of that.
See, I don't know. I didn't really have a problem with his movement or anything like that. That seemed all right to me, but it was the weird, like, to pull up your menu, you clicked the right stick?
Yeah.
Like, who has ever had an inventory menu tied to your right stick?
You know... one thing I hated was, like, his whole running, and he would go out of breath, like, pretty fast.
Yeah.
And I know that's an upgradable ability.
Upgrade your lungs.
But my whole thing is I hated the fact that, like, he would run, and if you did, like, press whatever button it was to run faster, you got, like, 5 seconds, and he would just... But it wasn't even that he would go slower. He would stop, and he would fucking breathe. And I'd be like...
Come
you
on,
gotta
buddy.
Be kidding me.
Right? Even like, me in real life would not do that.
Yeah, like there's a monster chasing you. There's no way in hell that you're gonna run really fast.
Just crawl like, or do something, man.
Seriously, even if he just like shambled forward, I'd be okay. But the fact that he stopped, put his hands on his knees, and thought about the situation.
They should have just had an animation where he just would turn around to the monster and just be like, just 1 second.
Yeah, yeah. He just shrugs his shoulders. You got me.
You know, like, I mean,
so
game
stupid.
Over.
So, like, a lot of the level design in this game involves, like, a lot of backtracking. Like, you're given, like, this big area.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like, oh, go here. Get the key from this guy. But then you have to go all around here. But along the way, there's, like, a new horde of enemies to mow through.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay.
Boss.
I don't know. It was...
I mean, the level design I don't think was that great.
No.
In essence, like, there were a few open areas that you did fight hordes. There's a few open areas where you could do, like, sneak.
I mean, backtracking is not automatically a bad thing because there was a lot of that going on in the Resident Evil games, but they did that pretty well. I think it wasn't too bad.
You never fought through hordes, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. The another thing I had issue with was, because as Adam said, the controls were very unintuitive. Another thing that kind of added to that was that there were a lot of gameplay elements that they just kind of threw at you sometimes, like opening like a booby trap or like disarming a thing, or like a lot of times you have to figure that out on the fly. Like, oh shit, like and it's like always different. Like you always have to like figure things out on the fly, and it's like I remember like towards the end of the game, like they just like do you remember like when the game goes all Star Fox on you? Because, like, you're kind of, like, in the battling the dude in his mind or whatever, and he just kind of throws you, like, in this, like, dimension or whatever. And then all of a sudden, you find yourself, like, kind of floating there, and then you're in, like, manning, like, a machine gun.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, this reticle, like, straight out of Star Fox, then you have to, like, shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you have to shoot him. And then you have to, like, do, like, a barrel roll, right?
Yep.
I don't know.
It's...
Slippy was there just annoying you.
Yeah. They had to
save
him.
Falco just had a bad attitude the whole time.
Yeah. I don't know. It was very, it was very confusing at times. So, I don't know.
The reason I gave it a 6 is because of it made me think of Resident Evil 4. I loved Resident Evil 4. I played it over and over again. So the controls and level design every once in a while really reminded me of Resident Evil 4. So... You know, sometimes I liked it because of that. But I also realized playing this game that I think I just hate horror games now, or maybe just the more detailed ones. Like you said, it's like a gamer's game, and I think being older and not having as much time to play games like I want to, I don't have the patience for them anymore. So I still want to play horror games, guys, but
I understand where you're coming
you're
from.
You're stuck here.
I'll play Alan Wake.
I understand where you're coming from because I don't like stealth games. I don't have the patience for it, but I'll sit and grind on an RPG to gain level after level just to kill a boss. So like it I think it's just the genre or depends. Like this was very heavily stealth oriented.
Like I wanted to love it, but I just couldn't get into it.
Yeah,
this game a gamer's game?
That's what I said. Yeah.
Because I think it is. Like, that's what everybody was saying, is how tough it is.
Like a Dark Souls.
Yeah, like Dark Souls is a gamer's game.
Bloodborne or whatever the hell.
Yeah. They're both kind
of
the same.
Not like a game you just pick up when you first start
playing.
Yeah,
it's not just for anybody.
See, I feel like if I had to pick a gamer's game, I'd feel like Resident Evil 4 is more deserving of that title.
Right. Really? Well, I was younger then and loved the intensity. But I feel like this was, no.
I mean, Resident Evil 4, like, they were going for the same thing, like a mix of action and horror. I feel like Resident Evil was, like, more streamlined in everything. It succeeded on everything. Like, the controls are amazing. The enemies are cool. There was never, like, any frustrating parts in that game that I can remember.
Yeah.
Right. So, I don't know.
All right, well,
F this game.
Let's get to we're really bashing this game. But let's get to scariness. That's what we're really worried about. Was this game scary? I gave it a 5.5 out of 10. John, a 5.5 out of 10.
Okay.
Adam, a 5 out of 10. Amber, a 6 out of 10. It really averages out to a 5.5. I'm just going to say it's average of a 5.5 out of 10.
I called it.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, obviously, we're all pretty close. I think we all found it like semi-scary, but not really.
I think
that
I gave this game like a similar scariness score to the Resident Evil.
Yeah.
The first Resident Evil, at least.
Whoa, we've decided that it's a lot like Resident Evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like, as I mentioned earlier, like there's a lot of things that this game does pretty well. Like, I mean, for the most part, the controls are okay. They could have been streamlined a little bit better.
I think, like I said, it controlled well. It was just the button layout was very counterintuitive. Like, I play quite a few different first-person shooters, and a lot of times the buttons will be different, or I'll set my controller up different. So, like, sometimes B will be reload, and sometimes it'll be X. Yeah. So I'm used to different controls, but this was just so counterintuitive to everything, like clicking the right stick. to bring up your inventory, or clicking the left stick to turn on your lantern, or B to reload. Yeah. And
yeah. Every time like, we restarted so playing it, I would forget what all the buttons were, and I'd have to figure them out.
Yeah, that's just that's my point. Like, this game comes so close in regards to like the scariness part
right.
of this game.
I definitely don't
like,
think it's a bad game.
Yeah. It was just like, oh man, it's like there were definitely scary parts in this game, but it was just like you get taken out of that creep mode right away because like you're reminded of how frustrating this game
yeah,
is.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, if it wasn't a grind like so often, I think it could be scarier.
If the whole game was like the first level.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
If the whole game was one level.
The scariest game ever made.
Game over.
Seriously. It'd be yeah. in our top five easily.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it definitely drops down because it becomes I think it just becomes more actiony, less scary, and then also more frustrating.
Yeah, it's, definitely. It's,
I think they were trying to like put in like too many like ingredients that they forgot they were making a scary soup.
It's like DC yeah. trying to make a movie. They're just trying to make the yeah. best one ever right
They're
now.
They're throwing too many ingredients.
Batman yeah. versus Superman. Also got Wonder Woman. Oh, also Aquaman. Hey, also throw in the Flash.
Yeah, yeah. So, and Cyborg. Just because.
Yeah. Why yeah. not?
I mean, to be fair, they were just in an email.
So,
and that's you know true. What? I don't care who I just spoiled that for. You should not see that movie.
Yeah.
No. So we're saying this game is the Batman versus Superman of horror games.
This game yep. is the Batman.
It is the Batman.
So it's kind of yeah. cool better for like reviews, the first 10, 15 minutes.
And
then you just need to wait for the rated R director's cut that adds the additional hour and a half of movie back
and takes out letterboxing.
And takes out letterboxing. That's a big one.
Wow. I feel like we just had a breakthrough here.
Okay. Well, if you take all the scores together and average them out, it gets a 6.3 out of 10. That's total. I don't know where that puts it on the scale. But out of scariness, it's a 5.5.
What happened to your list?
I don't know. It's not in here. But we do have the updated list. You can look it up and find out where
well,
it is.
Well, as you pointed out at the beginning of this podcast, we're no
You're
longer
just
updated.
Have to update it again.
Well, this one's not updated in, but just listen to this podcast, go on that list, look it up, find out where this game would be.
I'm bringing it up.
Let us know. Tweet us.
But wait a second, because what if they listen to this 6 months from now?
Then
that could be a completely different list.
Oh, then it'll be updated.
Well, hopefully.
Hopefully it'll be updated in 6 months. I'll get to it.
It sounds like there's a horror game going on.
Someone's getting murdered
outside.
Yeah,
we have some people watching the hockey game in the other room. It's kind of loud, just in case you're wondering what all those screams are. We're not killing people.
No.
Or are we?
Totally
or are we?
It
okay,
is
horror play. So the scariness was at 5.5. It actually rates higher than Resident Evil. Resident Evil is 4.3.
Whoa. Okay.
It was actually scarier okay than The Last yeah, of Us.
Did you play Resident Evil 4 for this?
Not Resident Evil 4 yet.
No, we've only done one.
Okay.
Just the first one.
So,
first
we did two.
Second. Yeah.
Bioshock came in at 5.4.
Okay. Wait, Bioshock's at 5.4?
And Silent Hill is at 5.6. So this game is right between those two games.
So wow. Above Bioshock, below Silent Hill. I'm actually okay with
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
sounds about
right.
Right.
It's not bad.
You know, it's a...
I mean, I like Bioshock better as a game.
Yeah.
But
scariness, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And I think even...
It's point one.
This game had potential. That showed in our overall score.
Yeah.
A 6.3 is respectable. It's not
it's
terrible.
It's above average.
Yeah.
It's a D.
You know what's interesting is that... yeah, besides that...
Besides the screaming.
Is that Resident Evil 2 actually was lower at 3.8. That's super interesting, actually.
Resident Evil 2 is lower?
Yeah, 3.8.
That's
way to not be scared by Resident Evil, guys.
Well, Resident Evil 2 was
it was a lot more streamlined and
it wasn't that scary, but I think it was a better game.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But it started leaning towards a little more actiony.
Yeah,
a little bit.
So Shinji Mikami was the kind of the fodder of the survival horror genre, and it's interesting to see like his influence, like all the games done on his list. Obviously, you have the Resident Evils because he worked on those games, but you have Silent Hills on here.
Right.
Silent Hills?
Like Silent Hills.
Silent Hills.
The canceled or multiple Silent Hill games?
Multiple Silent Hill games.
There's Dead Space. That's another survival horror game.
Really? He worked on Dead Space?
He didn't work on it, but like you know, these are like third-person survival horror games. I feel like...
Oh, okay.
You know, a lot of these games on here like owe a lot to his influence, actually. So I think that should be mentioned.
Yeah, I definitely. I mean, Resident Evil sparked this whole modern survival horror thing. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely. I mean, we can call him the grandfather of modern survival horror.
Yeah, because Five Nights at Freddy's would never have been made about him.
No, probably
definitely.
Not.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Nope.
Or Dear Esther. Or
that
Limbo.
Or The Stanley Parable.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Or Your Walk.
All those classics.
Oh, Among the Sleep, right?
That was a
Among
good one.
Among the Sleep?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. That was the game about a scary baby.
No, or the baby that was scared.
The baby that was scared.
You played as a toddler.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You're scared of your
This is a real game that we're talking about. We're not
Well, see, it was really a story about alcoholism and how your mom was a drunk.
Listen, just listen to the episode.
Of.
It'll all make sense.
Or play
I forgot what episode number that was.
30.
You know what? I'm going to say it was probably called Among the Sleep.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's titled.
Listen, go to iTunes.
Yep.
Search Horror Play. After you leave us a 5-star rating.
Yeah, I was going to say, rate review.
Wait. Download all of them.
Yes.
Give it a 5-star rating.
Yes. Yep.
And then just start listening.
Yeah.
At random. Just put them on random because that'll make it fun.
Yeah. It doesn't matter which one that you start with. And then, rate and review it. Also, while you're doing that, why not visit sharkdropper.com?
Yeah.
And if you want to suggest any games, you
if
can
you
just
want to find other
there.
Podcasts to rate and review.
Yeah.
And visit us on Patreon, because we are doing stuff on there, too. You might as well just go on there and maybe donate a dollar or so.
Do it.
All right, guys. Any final thoughts on Evil Within?
I liked what it tried to do. It didn't do everything great. It was an okay game, but it's definitely a gamer's game. It's like tough, so if you want to spend a lot of time on it.
I consider myself a gamer, and I don't recommend this game.
Well,
for more than 10 or 15 minutes at a time.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I consider myself a gamer, too, but...
we do a podcast every week about horror games. We are all gamers.
I'm not...
Some of us are hockey fans.
I'm not the type of gamer who wants to die 400 million times because I accidentally stepped a half an inch too far to the left.
Sounds like you should never play Dark Souls.
I will never play Dark Souls.
I know. I hope we don't do that for this again.
We might.
Well, that's not a horror. That's an RPG.
Game.
Fuck both of you.
Okay. That's true.
I'm just saying. It's got horror atmosphere elements.
We might. I don't know.
It's up in there.
Let's wait a little
while. You know what else kind of has a horror element? Sneak King. So are we going to play Sneak King?
Maybe. Ooh. I don't know. Listen, guys, if you want us to play Dark Souls, just let us know. We'll consider it.
I will play.
We'll think about it.
If I'm playing Dark Souls, I want Sneak King.
Yeah,
I have it. I have it.
I'm okay
so
with Sneak
don't
King.
Don't say that we can't find a copy because I will let everyone borrow it.
No, I'll borrow it. I'll play that game. It sounds fun.
Yeah. All right, guys. As always, if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for what games we should play, like Dark Souls, for example, jump us a line at sharkdropper.com. Robert already mentioned going to the website to check out all our podcasts, check out Patreon. Also, big shout out to Loot Crate. One of our newest sponsors.
Loot Crate.
So, yeah, check out lootcrate.com/shark if you want to, help us out.
Yep.
Also get, bitching stuff every month, right?
Shit.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. Bitching.
Is that how Loot Crate works?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. You get bitching stuff.
Every month.
Every
month. You get bitching stuff, brah.
Bitching stuff, brah.
They even have horror game stuff.
Shit. Really?
Yeah. Mostly in October.
They have a horror box, actually, I think.
That's... No,
I think I want
it. They have a video game one, at least.
Yeah.
They do.
Right. Stop right now.
No, we do.
Okay.
Lootcrate.com/shark.
Cool.
All right, guys, from my co-hosts, Amber, Adam, and Robert.
See
thank
ya.
Thank you so much for listening. Hey, wait. What are you doing? You're throwing me off, man.
I have a final thought.
Yeah.
Wave Race 64.
Wave Race 64. We should review that one.
Let's not get into that right now. This is like a thing that happened before the podcast. This is the end of the podcast.
Well, see, now you're explaining it. You're just destroying all the mistakes.
This is the end of the podcast. I've been your host.
That's why I tried to say
John.
Bye.
Can we just cut all this part off, please?
We really should.
Thank you so much for listening.
Yep.
And we'll see you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.
Wave Race 64. Thank you.
above the target. T-minus 5 seconds till shark drop. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Drop the shark! Go! 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 This podcast is a Shark Dropper Studios production.